Welcome to the WRAL Daily Download. I'm Jack Hagel. On November 8th, North Carolina voters will choose candidates to serve on the state's highest courts. But picking judges and justices isn't the same as picking legislative candidates. State government reporter Travis Fain is here to tell us more. Travis, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Travis, you recently wrote a how-to for North Carolina voters focused on judicial races. Why did you want to focus on that?
Yeah, the idea was these are kind of low information races, you know, from district court, superior court, court of appeals, all the way up to the state Supreme Court. You know, we're voting for these judges, for these justices. And I mean, quick, you at home, name one. If you can, great, good for you. But I think a lot of people can't and don't know, not only don't know much about them, but don't know how to go about deciding, learning about them and deciding if they're worthy of your vote or not.
So how did you go about getting that information? What went into building your guide? Who did you talk to and what advice did you get?
It's basically got two elements. One, we combed and will continue to comb the internet for forums. Judges get invited every election season to forums, particularly statewide, you know, the Supreme Court races, not so much district court and superior court, but anything we can find, anything people send us that we think might be helpful, we'll link all in one place. The state does a voter guide, but that's only in print. That'll actually show up in people's mailboxes, so we tell people about that. But the biggest thing I did was just start calling attorneys, judges, former judges, you know, who are retired, and saying, all right, what would you recommend? What process do you recommend people go through? And almost to a person, not everyone agreed, but mostly, they said, you know, ask a lawyer. You know, you probably know one. Maybe you go to church with one, or, you know, you have a friend, family member, or a bailiff, or a court clerk, someone who works with these judges day in and day out, and ask their opinion. And they will be happy to tell you what they think of the judges on your ballot.
Now, if you don't know a judge or a lawyer or a bailiff, and you don't have access to these guides, is there any other way that you can...
There's not a lot of options that are kind of low maintenance. I mean, one judge told me, well, there's a lot of information about us out there that can read our opinions. I mean, first of all, good luck getting a hold of them without actually going to a courthouse if we're talking the lower courts. And second of all, that's an awful lot of time to suggest people spend on something like this. You can also look to endorsements. You know, perhaps you won't have to go too far down a list before you see someone that you trust and you can take their opinion. Find a lawyer and ask them. That was kind of the crux of the thing. That's what kept coming up over and over and over again.
So now the state's highest courts are expected to tackle some of the thorniest issues in the state in the coming years. For our listeners, just what's on the docket?
Well, probably before the election, they're going to do voter ID, look at that, whether or not that's constitutional in the state, but redistricting, which is, you know, the process by which the legislature redraws districts, that over and over and over again comes through the courts. We may see some sort of abortion lawsuit come before the state Supreme Court eventually. I mean, that's kind of speculation at this point, but no one would be surprised by it. And I mean, any number of things, but it's not just that. This story is almost more about the district courts, the superior courts, the people who decide the fate of people accused of crimes, you know, every day in every county in North Carolina.
So in recent years, there's been a perception of partisanship. It's kind of hung over the state Supreme Court. Can you tell us why? I would presume it has something to do with the fact that people are voting for these people.
Yeah, and the elections are partisan. You know, we've kind of gone back and forth on this in North Carolina. For decades, they were partisan elections. And then back, I think, it was like the late 90s, early 2000s, the General Assembly said, all right, we're going to turn these into nonpartisan races. They also added a public funding mechanism so that instead of judges and justices having to raise money, these campaigns could be publicly financed. When Republicans took over the state legislature shortly after 2010, they did away with the public financing and they turned the races back to partisan. So now every judicial race in the state, you know, there'll be an R or a D. And, you know, in some cases, I don't know of any libertarian judges on the bench or candidates, but perhaps there are some. So it's a partisan affair like so much of our society. And that just, if it's there, why wouldn't you have a perception that it impacts things?
We'll be back after the break with Travis Fain. When we come back, he'll tell us about where North Carolina stands nationally in terms of how it elects its judges and whether or not North Carolina's way of voting for judges might change. Welcome back to the WRAL Daily Download. I'm talking with state government reporter Travis Fain about judicial races in North Carolina. Travis, I'm curious, how many states even elect judges?
So according to the Brennan Center for Justice, which had some updated numbers online as of October of last year, 39 states use elections to fill at least some of their court seats. So the majority, 38 of those elect judges to the high court. This is the Supreme Court in North Carolina. So that's pretty common. It's the partisan elections that are less common. 11 states, including North Carolina, use party labels for the trial courts. And the trial court is going to be district court, superior court, what you would think of as a judge in a courtroom. The appellate courts are the Court of Appeals and Supreme Court. And only 8 use partisan elections, including North Carolina, to pick Supreme Court justices.
So you worked in Virginia before you moved back to North Carolina. How did they elect their judges?
So they do it kind of an interesting way. The state legislature actually picks the judges. Technically, the state legislature votes for them. But in reality, it's kind of worked out privately amongst, and I'm talking about trial court judges here, the people who handle cases day to day. A vacancy comes open and local lawmakers in that jurisdiction all kind of get together behind closed doors and they decide. The local bar association puts forward some recommendations. But I, as a reporter trying to piece together who was going to get what and how these people, you know, who went to law school with who and whose buddies. It was as opaque as any process I've ever tried to cover as a reporter, which quite frankly is saying a lot. And I would put that before people in Virginia, people in power, and I'd say, this is an extremely opaque process. How do you defend this? And they'd say, oh, yeah, no, it's terrible. The only thing that could be worse is if we had just a popular election of judges. And of course, that's what we do in North Carolina.
Why did they say that was worse?
Because of what we've been talking about here, that people don't know much about judges. You know, they don't really, a lot of people don't necessarily know what makes a good judge. I talked to a lot of people for this article who said, you know, definitely don't, particularly at the lower courts, definitely don't pick just on party label. Don't just pick a Republican because you think they're tough on crime. I had public defenders tell me, you know, I've had Democrats who, you know, weren't thought to be tough on crime, but then they just came down hard on my clients and I thought it was unfair. They said that the kind of things you really need to look for are, does the judge listen as opposed to seeming to have already made up his or her mind? Do they have a good demeanor? Are they patient? Do they have empathy? And one thing that people suggested, which I think is a great idea, except I don't know who has time to do it, is to go and sit in a judge's courtroom, watch them work, spend even just an hour. Not only will you learn something about the judge, you will learn something about the society we live in sitting in a courtroom for an hour. I promise you that.
So there's been this bipartisan push to make North Carolina's judicial elections nonpartisan again. What are the chances of that happening?
I don't know of any momentum for that. I mean, there are people who would like to see that happen. But I mean, we'll see. We get new legislature. It's going to be elected in November and they'll come together early next year in 2023. And there'll be all sorts of things they'll talk about. I don't know that that'll be one of them. But, you know, a new election, a new legislature being seated has a way of resetting things. Things bubble up that weren't as important the time before. They always seem to tinker with elections. But no, I don't know of any. I have no reason to believe that sort of big change is imminent. A lot of Republicans, and Republicans control the General Assembly and are very likely to next year as well, indicate that, look, these are low information elections. So let's give people what information we can easily, which party affiliation, that gives you some information right there.
Well, if things do change, I'm sure you'll be the first to tell us about it. Thanks, Travis.
All right. Thanks for having me.
If you want to read Travis's how-to article on voting for North Carolina judges, go to nccapital.com. Thanks for listening to the WREL Daily Download and for making us part of your morning routine. Another great way to get WREL news is the Morning Briefing Newsletter. It's a daily email that's waiting for you in your inbox every morning with Triangle news, events, and headlines to get you ready for the day. Sign up at wrel.com/newsletter.